Whoa, okay. I'm going to go this way, okay? So we're not going to blow up, okay? 2 Timothy 2, verse number 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. Dear Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord, and as we settle and we look at this issue here about eternal glory and the fact that you have a program and a plan for that, you're called the Father of glory, and we get to participate in that. We'll just look at the verses and rejoice in what the verses have to say, because it's because of your word that tells us that we can then rejoice in our glorification. And in your name we pray, amen. If you look at this verse, salvation here, and my text is the effectual working of the word in glorification. And we spent about 15 weeks at home looking at his glory in the ages to come. We had a good time with it. And I told the folks then, we're just going to scratch the surface. Okay? The other night, Dad made that comment about the ages to what? To come, and how we just keeps getting and going and going and going. That's the issue. You know, the dispensation of the fullness of times, and we look at that and we go, wow, what is all that about? You know, that's only just a piece of it. So we're only going to really scratch the surface this morning with you. And I'm going to do it based off of yesterday when we talked about sanctification. Now, this is our text verse, but I want you to look in verse number 10 real quick, because notice what he says here. He says, therefore, I endure all things for who? For the elect's sake. Who's the elect? The body of Christ. Saved people. Election in your Bible always deals with service, never with salvation. If you think that election deals with salvation, you have a problem in Isaiah when the Lord Jesus Christ is called mine elect. That means that you believe Jesus Christ was lost and needed to get saved. If you believe that election deals with salvation. Okay? You've got to think about that. Why was Christ called mine elect? The rest of that verse, he's my what? He's my servant in that verse in Isaiah 45. Okay? So you got to pay attention. So the elect. Election is always dealing with service. Well, how do you become one of the elect? Well, first night, what did we learn? The effectual working of the word in what? Justification, salvation. So if you want to be one of the elect, what do you have to do? You have to come to Calvary, don't you? Come, you gotta believe. In the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, once that happens, He comes along and the Holy Spirit does what with you? Places you into, baptizes you into the body, blesses you with all, seals you, you're blessed with all spiritual blessings, you're complete in Him, and you're off and going, and you know what? Last night in the Q&A, John said something, he's just getting started, aren't you? You're just coming along here on life's line, and what are you doing? You're just getting started, aren't you? We have folks in our assembly over the years that got saved later in life, and we had a gentleman, he's with the Lord now, Ed, big train guy, worked on the train, all saved late in life. And oh, did he love grace and liberty. But you know what? He got started, and you know what? I'm just getting started, Rick. I know. Let's go. That's this issue. The elect here. The saved folks here. Salvation. Notice the verse. That they may also obtain the what? The salvation. Now, obtaining the salvation here, salvation has three tenses to it. It has a past tense. That's your justification. It has a present tense. That is going to be your walk in time right now as you live here in the flesh. The life that I now live in the flesh, right? Then the salvation has a future tense, and that's the issue of glory out here. And that's the subject. Notice it says obtain salvation. By who? Salvation, obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with what? Oh, we have a salvation plus, don't we? You see that? So we have the three steps here, the three phases, Okay? And I just trying to deal with this verse because we're going to get into some other stuff here. But I don't want to leave the text because the text is going to set up now what we're going to talk about the rest of the time. Come over with me real quick here to Romans chapter number 5. Because of this salvation, and by the way, we're going to go quick and we're going to use verses. And a lot of them. And I don't know what I did with my cell phone, which is my clock. So if the vibration happens up here, that means it's something's happening. I don't know. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9. They're going to obtain, by the way, it's obtain. Is that a present tense word or a future tense word? It's future. Obtain, out there, we're going to get it. Look at Romans 5 verse number 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be what? From what? The wrath. Where? Through Him. Okay? Much more than your justification, what are you going to miss? Do you catch that? Much more than Christ dying for your sins and you believe in Him and you trust in Him, you know what you're not going to go through? The wrath of God. That event, the 70th week over here. Because you've obtained salvation with eternal glory. Because you're where? In Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5. Just some verses here real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 9. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to what? Obtain salvation. How? By our Lord Jesus. You see that? How do we obtain the eternal glory out here? By being where? Over here in Christ. You see that? That's important. Now, by the way, how do you know all that's true? Because you just read two verses, didn't you? Three verses. And by the way, there's a multiplicity of verses. Okay? And what do we do with the Word? 1 Thessalonians 2:13, remember yesterday? We have to do what? You gotta believe it. The moment you believe it, the moment it goes to work. Otherwise, it's just a book you've been reading. I don't know if you've ever heard people say, well, your Bible's just wonderful literature. And you know what? They are right. It is wonderful literature. The prose in it is wonderful. The historical narrative, the poetry. It's a beautifully written book, isn't it? But it's more than just a book, isn't it? It is the Word of God. But when does it take its, when does it hit home? When you believe it. Okay? You see, folks, come back over with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, and on your way get Colossians 3. I know it's not on your way, but you understand. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 10, again. You see, notice what Paul does here. Paul says, guys, in 2 Timothy 2:10, the saved people, the elect, the members of the body of Christ, I'm here so that I'm going to suffer. I'm going to endure all things. Yesterday we talked about suffering, didn't we? Okay, I'm going to endure all things so that what can happen for the body of Christ? They might obtain salvation with eternal glory. Okay, I'm in 2 Timothy 2:10. Notice that's what he's doing here. Now, when he talks about salvation with eternal glory, he's talking about an event that's very specific, isn't he? He's not talking about everyday life. This is our daily life. He's talking about what we call the rapture. I like the day of redemption term better. That's a more Pauline word. Or over there where he says we're going to be caught up together. That's a great word too. All the same thing, you say what you like to say. 1 Thessalonians 4, I call that the rapture chapter. Because that's where we get the deal, the details, okay? But notice what he says here. Hey guys, I'm going to endure all things so that the body of Christ can obtain salvation with eternal glory. So that when we get to the rapture and they go through the judgment seat of Christ, you know what's going to happen to them? They're going to come out on the other side being okay and looking good. Now, 2 Timothy 2 has a context. And it's interesting that most of the time, sometimes we miss the context. So look real quick in 2 Timothy 2 and notice verse number 10. What's the first word? Well, what do you ask yourself? What is it there? What's the therefore? Right? Well, what did he just tell Timothy? Go back to verse 1. Be strong where? In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. All things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach other also. There's your original multi-level marketing plan right there. Okay? Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a what? What's a soldier going to do? What does that mean if he's using a soldier terminology, a term there? It means it's a battle, it's a war. What are we going to do? We're going to endure all things for the elect's sake so that they can obtain something out there in the future with eternal glory. So what do we have to do now, Timothy? Now again, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, pastoral epistles, leadership. This is who he's talking to, right? And he keeps going. Look, no man warreth. Well, verse 4, there's the war. Verse 5, and if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned? The husbandmen that labor. What, folks, it's the work of the ministry, isn't it? I love verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding. And how many things? Boy, I tell you what. You can't understand Israel's end program without understanding the body of Christ. You know that? You need Paul. He gives you the understanding in all things. Not some things, but all of them. Then he says, wherein, what? I. You see, now Paul just switched to talk from talking to Timothy to talking to who? About himself. And Paul does that. Paul will get going. Have you ever read Colossians 2? You start in verse 4, don't let any man beguile. Verse 8, don't let them get you down. Don't let them judge you. Don't let them get you in the world, the rudiments and the philosophy and the traditions. And then in verse 9 and 10, he comes out with ye are complete. And then in verse 11 to 4 to 15, he just goes off. He goes off on what it is to be complete in Christ. And then he comes back in verse 16, let no man judge you. That's what Paul's doing here in verse 9 and 10. He's going off. He's talking about him. He's talking about, he's telling Timothy, look, Tim, endure war, carry on, labor, and oh, by the way, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure. You see how Paul brought that into himself? To use him as that what? For Timothy. The pattern. Because what's Timothy doing? Timothy's in Ephesus. And what's happening in Asia right now? They're leaving Paul, aren't they? Boy, what a drastic deed to be, right? Paul tells Timothy, I'm mindful of your tears, Tim. Man, Timothy's going through a tough. So Paul exhorts him to continue. And then he turns around and says, now look at your pattern. Because I suffered as a what? Was he really an evildoer? Not at all, was he? See that? And I'm doing it so that what? Who has the benefit of what I'm doing, Timothy? The elect. The elect. I'm doing it because the body is going to benefit. So Timothy, your attitude and your thinking and leadership should be for the benefit of who? The body, the local church, what Dad did last night. Follow all that? See what's going on? Boy, you got, don't miss the context of what this verse sits in. Because what's the next verse say? It is a what kind of statement? Okay, well this is one of those no-duh statements. Because if it's faithful, then it's always what? True. When what does he say? Well, Tim, it's a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Is that the facts, Jack? Happy, happy, happy. You better believe it. That's Duck Dynasty. You guys are too high and mighty over here. If we suffer, we shall reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Now, what does all that sit in contextually? Is that sitting in contextually what John did in Romans 8? And stuff over there about suffering on a daily basis, you know, going through things? Be careful. What's the context of that passage? Timothy in leadership doing what? Enduring, working, hardship. See that? This is something very specific in suffering here. It isn't just a general, you woke up and you're having a bad day because you live in a sin-cursed creation or you made a stupid decision, Galatians 6. By the way, the third area that you suffer is over there in Timothy where, yea, all those who will live godly shall suffer persecution. There's your third aspect. That's where we're at here. Okay? Now, you got all that context in your mind? Come back now to 1 Timothy 4. I know you still got Colossians 3, and that's good. We'll see how long you can hold it. 1 Timothy 4, notice if you will, verse 8. This is where we picked up last time. Because what does Paul say? Guys, leaders, by the way, what is your vocation? Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Do you know what you are called? What are you called? The elect? You are an ambassador for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 tells you. Everyone in this room has a work of ministry. Just because you're not the preacher or the song leaders or whatever doesn't mean you do not have a work of ministry. What is the will of God? Who will have all men to be saved and come? What does our King say? I would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And everyone in this room ought to be proclaiming it. The only difference between myself and you is that I desired something that you don't desire. And you know what? That's okay. Because I desired the office. Maybe you have that desire. That's fine. That's wonderful. Speak up. Let's get on with it. Okay? But everyone in this room is an ambassador. Okay? And the King, your King, has a proclamation. Have you ever seen him do the thing where they say, okay, now you're the ambassador and they, you know, I pledge allegiance to the flag and all that stuff. He did that with you at Calvary. Because what happened at Calvary? You passed from death to life, didn't you? You were blessed with all spiritual blessings. You were made complete. Now, if you're an ambassador in a foreign country, what are some of the first things that you have to learn to do? Deal with their what? Language? Culture? Customs. Guess what you're having to do? Behold, all things become what? New. All the old things pass away. Why? Because you're a new creature where? In Christ Jesus. Now that's a rabbit trail. It's something you ought to think about. Too many times I hear people, well, Rick, I'm just not the preacher or the teacher. No, but you are an ambassador. Okay? Now, 1 Timothy 4:8. This is where we last stopped yesterday. We doing okay on time? Depends. I'm only on page 4. I don't even have a point. What's your point? I have no point. I got it. It's okay. Thank you. Just tell me when it's time for lunch. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's pray. You guys remember Keith Spolstra? He told me that one time I was doing the camera work in one of the meetings years ago, and he told me, he goes, just raise your hand when it's time to go eat. So he was going along, and I went, and he went, and I said, oh, no. And he did his little chuckle, and off we went anyway. And he went on for another 20 minutes, so I should have held him to it, I guess. Anyway, 1 Timothy 4, verse number 8. A clear verse here, isn't it? First Timothy, for bodily exercise profit a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Having the promise that what? I'm sorry, the life that what? Now is. Right here, now in time. The now life. What are you doing right here in time? I look around the room. If you're a believer, what are you doing right now? You're renewing your mind, aren't you? You're having your inner man strengthened with the Spirit. Right? You come along and things begin to happen in your life. Right? Can't seem to catch a break. What does the book say? What does the Word say? What are we going to do? What do we got to do? We got all this stuff. So where do we go to? The Word of God, we renew our mind. I like to use the job illustration. Okay? It's an easy illustration. It's not offensive usually for most people. But think about this. Here you are working on Monday and Tuesday you lose your job. What happens? Well, first you call home and say, I lost my job, don't you? Okay? What happens to you? Just think, oh my, now what am I gonna do? I got 4 mouths to feed. I got this, I got that. I got 4 dogs to feed. Oh my God, what are we doing? The goldfish finally died, so I'm okay there. You know? What's going on? We had a goldfish from the fair that lived 8 years, I think we figured out. So, it finally died. Finally. We mounted it though. We put him up on the wall. I'm just kidding. But what do you do? Well, what does the Word of God say? Paul says, your apostle, your pattern says, get a job. Do you know it doesn't say you got to be the CEO of Apple? That's a good thing. It says what? He says what? Get a job. Follow that? So as the head of the house, you lost your job, what should you be doing on Wednesday morning? Looking for another one, exactly. Right? Follow that. That's the issue. So what did you just do in time? You lost your job. But what does godliness say? What does God, how does God think about this godliness, godlikeness? How does He think about you losing your job? Get a haircut and get a real job, right? As the song says, what are you going to do? You're going to go find another job. Well, Rick, you know, but I have all these degrees. Great. I hope you qualify to be the CEO of Apple. That's fine. That's wonderful. Just get a job. So you go work at McDonald's. 2 weeks later, you're protesting because you can't make a living on $8 an hour. Well, no duh. Because McDonald's wasn't geared to make you a living off of, is it? So go get another job. Exactly. But what are you doing when you go get the job? You're believing the Word of God and you're outdoing what you're supposed to be doing. What is going on then in your inner man? Think about this. You are what? You're building. Because you are obeying the Word of God, you begin to build into your inner man some resources that are going to allow you to enjoy the McDonald's job. Again, I pick a job, it's easy. It's not offensive. Usually. Sorry if you work at McDonald's, I didn't mean to be offensive, okay? I used to use a Walmart greeter illustration, but they all went away. That job doesn't exist anymore out by us. But what do you do? Well, come over to 1 Corinthians 3. By the way, in 1 Timothy 4, he says now, the life now, and then the out there in the what? In the come. And that's where we're trying to get to. Look, if you will, at 1 Corinthians 3. Because the things that he is dealing with and the things that we're talking about here was salvation with eternal glory. Is not only in time are we going to have the security of the effectual working of the Word in us, and the, by the way, is it tough to pay bills every month when you're working 3 jobs? I know, because I do it, and yes it is. Okay? when Brian passed away a couple years ago, we had bills to pay. They just didn't go away. I work three jobs, the church, I drive a school bus, and on Saturday I ref volleyball for club. I work just to make the ends meet at the end of the month. And don't go, woe is you. We got there on our own trying to take care of things. I know how we got there. The point is I know it's tough, but what's it doing to you and for you? Really, not to you, but for you. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul begins to talk here about the issue of the judgment seat of Christ and what is going to happen. Watch verse number 9. For we are what? Laborers together for God. Your son say for God? Nor does mine. It says what? When you go to work, who are you laboring with? What does Paul say in Romans and Ephesians 6 about work? Don't do it for men pleasers, you do it for who? You do it for Christ. So who are you laboring with? You're laboring with God, aren't you? I think you are. Well, I'm working for the man. Well, no kidding. But what's your attitude about it? What's going on inside of you? You're laboring with God. We are God's husbandry. You're God's building. According. See that next word? According to the what? To the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And amen to that. Folks, when you labor with God, you're intaking the Word of God right here now in time. And then you go out and you live godliness. Think like God. Value and esteem things the way God does. Okay? You begin to build on the foundation that was laid by Jesus, by Paul, who is Jesus Christ. Romans 16, verse 25. These are the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the what? According to the mystery. The revelation of the mystery. Which was kept secret before the world began, but now is made manifest. And when he laid the foundation of Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John laid the foundation of Jesus Christ too, don't they? But for who? For the nation of Israel. Paul says, I'm doing it for the body of Christ. Here it is. And when you guys build, when you guys labor with God, you build on that. And my goal is that the elect would obtain salvation with eternal glory. Follow all that? See how that's crunching? So when you go out and you labor, and you work the job. How about when you get married? Ooh, now we're meddling. See how you can meddle real quick.
Then you go to work.
What about marriage? Is that not a labor? No, honestly, think about this. But it's a labor for who? It's a labor with God, isn't it? Because he said what? Over in Ephesians 5. In the relationships between the wives and the husbands, who is it all for? It's for him, isn't it? See, folks, no matter what you do, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Oh. Now you have kids, and you begin to raise your kids, and you bring them up, and you, that is a labor. Okay? We have a sign in our house, don't mind the mess, we have twins. You want to see real wildlife come and be, you know, it was a labor. There's literally 8 years of my life I don't remember. I really don't. And it was because they were little and they changed the diapers. You know. Okay? Kids are wonderful. I was told. Okay? Grandkids are better. Okay. But you labor with your family, don't you? And you're raising them, aren't you? That's all what we're talking about here. We're not talking about ivory tower, Somebody asked a question about the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height last night over here. The wonderful part of that whole verse to me, to start with, is that ye may be able to comprehend. We're not talking about stuff you can't know. We're talking about stuff you do every day. How many of you got up this morning? Not yet? We need to boom them a couple more, okay? Right? You got up this morning, you go, you do your routine, you come down, you eat breakfast, you go do this, you did that, you got in the car, you came, whatever you did. You know what happened to you? That's called life. And Paul says, man, we labor with God in what? In life. And we're building, aren't we? Now, notice what we're building. In verse number 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones. You see that? Or, then you have what? Wood, hay. I'm in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. And stubble. Which one looks bigger? Group A? Or group B? Which is bigger? Out where I drive a school bus, it's in the bottom end of the valley and they have hay trucks go by. You can buy a truckload of hay for just over $300 right now. But you know what it is? It's a truckload of hay. And you know what happens when hay combusts? It's no longer a truckload of hay. It burns up. Okay? But what is it? It's big, isn't it? But little value. Do you remember stubble? Stubble is that garbage that's left over after the wheat and that chaff. And what's the Lord going to do? He's going to burn that stuff up? It's the garbage. You see, this over here looks big, doesn't it? But it isn't precious, is it? Easily gone. What about gold, silver, precious stones? That's little, isn't it? Valuable. Woo, gold. $2,000 a whatever, an ounce. A troy ounce. But then you gotta go, is it pure gold? Well, no, it's not pure gold, so now we're on whatever they do, and you know, they're haggling you down to $20 an ounce. Because it's not pure, you know. But what is it? It's little, isn't it? Not big, it's little. So, but what are you building on your foundation? The passage doesn't say that you will build either gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, does it? It says that you're going to build both categories, doesn't it? So then the question gets, well then what are these categories, right? Well, what would be gold, silver, and precious stones? Well, come back with me to Proverbs. Proverbs 16. Proverbs is after the book of Psalms. You guys with me? Proverbs 16. Got to go a little quicker here. Proverbs 16, verse 16. And notice something here. Proverbs 16, 16. How much better is it to get what? Than what? How much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather than choosing to be chosen than what? See what's going on? Gold is equated out to what? And understanding is equated out to what? Now come over to chapter 20 of Proverbs and look at verse 15. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of what? But the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. And you see how what Proverbs just did to you? It helps you to understand what? What the gold, silver, and precious stones are, didn't they? What are they? Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Now come back with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 1. And notice what Paul prays in his first example of what it is to pray for mature saints. What does he say? Ephesians 1, verse number 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? And the revelation in what? The eyes of your being what? Hey, what did Paul just pray for you to have built in your life? See that? So then, Rick, what is the wood, hay, and stubble? Well, obviously, it's not wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, is it? So then what does it become? Well, it becomes human viewpoint, doesn't it? It becomes the stuff that's anti-wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Wood becomes the human effort. Hay becomes the glory of human effort. And the stubble, that's just a real cheap substitute for the real deal. Follow that? It's human effort, isn't it? Human viewpoint. That's what it is. Now, you build this on that foundation as you go through and as you're laboring through life with God, and you're taking in the Word of God and it's working effectually in you because you believe and you're building. Now, which one would you rather build more of? Group A or Group B? Which one is more clear now? Group A or Group B? You see? Now, go back to 1 Corinthians 3. By the way, the Colossians 3, you can let go. Just in case you hadn't. The verse was verse 24, if you're taking notes. That's where we were going to go, but we're running out of time. So. You begin to build into your inner man, let's just use this as your inner man, these different buildings. Okay? Some are going to be gold and silver and precious stones. Some are going to be wood, hay, and stubble. Follow that. If you come out of a religious background, you know what you were building? Wood, hay, and stubble. You know that? I had a lady one time ask me, but Rick, I was 30 years in the Baptist group. We were missionaries out under the Indian reservation. What about all that work? I looked at her and I said, did you see children get saved? Because she gave me a clear gospel presentation, because I asked her for one. She said, yes. I said, then it was not at all a bad thing, then, was it? No, it wasn't. Did she understand right division? Nope. I asked her, I said, well, did you water baptize them after you gave them the gospel? She said, no, we didn't have water. I said, but tell me what you did. She goes, we just had them trust in Christ and that was it. Because that's all we, I said, then you did fine. Don't worry about it. You were golden. Because what did she do? She just gave them the gospel.
Followed the word.
She followed the word. Okay. Now later in life, she came to understand right division, and she was worried that all she had done was group B all those years. And I said, no. You were over here. You were okay. All of that. So don't beat yourself up going, oh man, I've got all wood. Don't do that. You know why? Because look at the next verse in 1 Corinthians 3. Every man's work shall be made what? Manifest. Boy, isn't that something? For the day. Well, what's the day? For time's sake, you write down Romans 14, verse number 10, in the judgment seat of Christ is the day. That's the day, okay? Where every man will give an account of himself. That's the day. Romans 14, 10 to about 12, I think it is, all right? The day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by what? By fire. Oh, we got to look at the fire. Come over with me to Jeremiah chapter 20. It's okay. It's only Sunday morning. Jeremiah 20. What's the fire? It's not heat lamp in the original. Jeremiah 20, look if you will at verse number 7. Well, for time's sake, just go to verse 9. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. If you have the right kind of Bible, it's page 793. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word. Now Jeremiah is the one speaking, but his word was in my heart as a burning what? Fire. What's the word? It's a burning fire, isn't it? Chapter 23 of Jeremiah. Chapter 23, verse 28 and 29. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that heareth my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire? Woo! So what's going to try 1 Corinthians 3 now? What's trying the work? The word of God, isn't it? That you, down here in time, did what? Believed it. Went and took the job. Went and did what you needed to do. We're building into your inner man these gold, silver, and precious stones, and wood, hay, and stubble. All this activity you were doing down here on earth, when the end comes and we're raptured and we meet the Lord in the air, in 1 Thessalonians 4, the judgment seat takes place at that meeting. The judgment seat of Christ takes place, and you know what he does? He says, we're going to make manifest of what sort of work you did. What kind of work did you do down there? Okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 3 again, real quick here. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. At the judgment seat of Christ, is there going to be a lot of boo-hooing and crying? The answer is no. You know why? When the Lord himself shall descend with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, in 1 Thessalonians 4, then we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together, meet them in the air, and you know what you're caught up in? Your new body. Because you have to have that new body to be able to handle outer space. If you'll let me say it like that. You're in your new body. You know what you are not doing? Whoa, is my back. If I bend down, I don't know if I could get up this morning. My knee, you know. No, you're not doing that. You know what you're doing? Does this go faster? You're enjoying that new body. You're not sitting there going, oh, I hope he doesn't see 1983. You're not. Or 2014. Oh my goodness. You're not saying that. You're not doing that at all. You know why? You're in your new body. There's your inner man. And you're just enjoying it because you're in his presence. And then you're in the presence of your loved ones. And you're in the presence of other members of the body of Christ that you've never met, but you know them. You go to the judgment seat of Christ and he says, we got one more thing to do to you. And that's to send your inner man through a little fire. So that when we come out on the other side, we go into eternal glory exactly like Ephesians 5 tells us. Look over there. Look at Ephesians 5. I read down through this passage, you know, they come to you, Rick, can you marry us? I said, why? You know, it never worked. They end up wanting to get married. And we always read down through these verses here in Ephesians 5 and the roles. But I want you to notice real quick verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. What's the it? The church, right? Verse 27. Why does he want to cleanse it with the washing of water by the word? That, the purpose, the intent, he's going to do what with the church? He would present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without what? How in the world do you do that? The gold, silver, and precious stones. You send it through the fire, don't you? Your refinery, purify it. You get it purified. So what's he going to do up here at the judgment seat of Christ? He's sending your inner man through the fire to do what to it? Purify it. So it's without blemish. And he's going to present it to who? Himself. Woo-hoo. One more thing. And you know what goes? What did you do over here? Godliness of life that now is. What you do here at the judgment seat, he puts the capacity certificate on your inner man. The capacity for service. Because what is the elect? Who are they? They're the servants, aren't they? I am doing this so that the servants may obtain salvation through Jesus Christ with eternal glory. See what's going on here? You get the capacity. Here's your sign. Are you an A, B, C, D, E, F? Well, we don't like F, so. Where are you? Is that 7? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Where are you? What's the capacity of your inner man? What have you been doing right now in time? Your sanctification, your walk. I've been renewing it. I've been building it in. I've been putting it in. You know why? Because it impacts where? Out there. See what's going on? Now, if you go back there to 1 Corinthians 3, we'll talk here real quick. Are we doing okay on time, somebody? We're doing great. Keep going. It's 10:30. We got to go. We got to be done. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a what? A reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what? Loss of what? Of the reward. But he still gets a reward. He just suffers the loss of what? Of a position. The Apostle Paul lays out terminology for you, principalities, powers, mights, thrones, dominions, and every name that's named. Principalities, powers, mights, thrones, dominions, rulers, and every name that is named. Those are hierarchy, those are governmental terms. Which one are you going to be in? Now listen to me closely. This is all for His glory. We're going to see that in one verse here in just a minute. But which one are you going to be in is dictated by what you do now in time in what? Laboring with God. Service. Okay? Now what happens is people say, yeah, but Rick, I could be very prideful, couldn't I? But which side is that on? It's on the wood, hay, and stubble. So what's going to happen when it goes through the fire? It's going to be burned up. So you know what? You just wasted all your time redeeming the time for the days are evil. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. See, you can waste all your time being pride, knowing every verse in the Bible, and can debate around the clock and blah, 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 blah. And you know what will happen at the judgment seat of Christ? It's gone. Rather, why don't you spend your time reading Romans to Philemon, building up and having a life that I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Follow that? All right, let's go to the end. Ephesians chapter number 2. By the way, Ephesians 2. You can look at Colossians 1 verse 15 to 16. In Ephesians chapter number 1, there's your principalities, powers, thrones, demites, rulers. You know what happens after the judgment seat of Christ? We have to look at these. I don't have to be out here till 1:30, so. You got Ephesians 2. Look over real quick at 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse number 13, and then Ephesians chapter number 2. You can go to Ephesians 1, verse 18, where Christ as a reward of the inheritance of his saints. Colossians 3, where we're at in glory. Romans 8, 2 Corinthians 3. I mean, we're all, this glory is everywhere. Okay? But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. We come out on the other side. And the capacity issue is there, isn't it? The certificate. And now, I use A, B, C, D, and E, and F. Okay? I don't know what the Father's going to do, because this is His job. But I need you to kind of get an idea here. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3, verse number 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with who? That's after the judgment seat of Christ. When the judgment seat of Christ is done and the capacity of your inner man is then, he takes you and he presents you to the Father and he says, here is my body without blemish, Ephesians 5. And now the Father puts you and says, principality, power, throne, dominion, ruler, every name that's named. Now, if you think about government, I worked 1 month for the United States Postal Service, and it was a scheduling issue. That's why I couldn't be there any longer. But I noticed something in the United States Postal Service, and you think about government. We have a top dog, don't we? It's called the president. How does government work? It doesn't. Got a boom, okay? It works from what? Top down. It's like a pie, a pyramid, isn't it? Do you realize that as a letter carrier, I am a federal employee. I work for the federal government. But do you know that my area of responsibility is only over a stinking piece of little mail? And I say stinking piece because they got to be stinking pieces. They're little, minute, but yet I am still a member of what? Of the government. That's the every name that's named crowd. Now, if I had stayed and put in my time, you know what I could have been? I could have been a postmaster. I could have been this. I could have been that. I could move up the chain if that's what you desire. If I had that desire to do, I did. That's why I'm not there anymore. What can you do then? You can move up. And where do you begin to move up? The ladder, don't you? My point is don't settle for every name that's named. Settle for the principality. How do I get there? Gold, silver, precious stone. Okay? Follow that? What you do now impacts eternity. Why do we know all this is going to happen in eternity? Because the effectual working of the Word in your life. Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through who? Folks, everything that we've talked about this weekend, prayer, suffering, justification, walk, local assembly, everything is built upon who? Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. I look around the room. I know some of you. I don't know all of you. You may be sitting here going, what in the world has he been talking about? That's okay. I haven't been talking to you. I'm talking to believers here. But the moment that you say, I do, to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what happens? This all becomes about you. You see, folks, Jesus Christ hung in Calvary's tree and he died for you. We've been talking all weekend about all you have to simply do is believe. That's all you have to do to pass from death to life is simply believe. Now, what is the object of the belief? We've been talking about the Word of God. Your object of your belief is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to shake my hand. You don't have to do anything but in the privacy of your own heart say what? I believe. I trust you. Well, then why do I need to trust him? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're a sinner and you need to trust him. If you trust him, you pass from death to life. And he's got a whole nother side for you to learn and to come to understand. And that's what we've been talking about. But the first step is Calvary. Faith, belief, it takes privacy. It's a private event. Therefore, it makes it personal. And you do it in the quietness of your own heart. That's why I say you don't have to do anything. I would encourage you to make sure you trust Him today. Because you can walk out this door, go play in traffic for a little bit, and wake up in hell. And instead you need to be waking up in the presence of the Lord. Okay? Now for the rest of you guys, let's get on the ball. Let's build. Let's make sure we're building what's accurate. Why? Because there's an obtaining of what? Some eternal glory out here. Okay? All right. Dear Father, we thank you for the morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the exhortation. We thank you for the patience of the folks. And for the study of your word. In your name we pray. Amen.